Samsara chakra etasmin.
Jantura
gyana mohitaha. Brahmyan sukham cha dukham cha. Bhunkte sarvatra sarvada. Ladies, Samsara chakra. In the wheel of material existence, etasmin, this, jantuhu, the living entity, agyana mohitaha, being bewildered by ignorance, brahmyan, wandering, sukham, happiness, cha, and dukkham, distress, cha, also, bhunkte, he undergoes, sarvatra, everywhere, sarvada, always. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada. Deluded by ignorance, the living entity wanders in the forest of this material world, enjoying the happiness and distress resulting from his past deeds, everywhere and at all times. Therefore, my dear mother, neither you nor I am to be blamed for this incident. Report. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Actually, a conditioned soul is completely under the control of material nature. Wandering here and there, always and everywhere, he is subjected to the results of his past deeds. This is carried not by the laws of nature, but one foolishly thinks himself the doer, which in fact he is not. To get free from the karma chakra, the wheel of the results of one's karma, one should take to bhakti marg, devotional service, or Krishna consciousness. That is the only remedy. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Sangsara chakra etasmin janturagyana mohitaha brahmyan sukham cha dukham cha bhunkte sarvatra sarvada. Deluded by ignorance, the living entity wanders in the forest of this material world, enjoying the happiness and distress resulting from his past deeds, everywhere and at all times. Therefore, my dear mother, neither you nor I am to be blamed for this incident. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gada Mayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinotaranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. The blessings of all our senior devotees, our teachers and revered Vaishnavas. This is a very crucial section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chitraketu Maharaj is being cursed by Parvati. And when Mother Parvati curses, it sticks. Because she's Mother Nature. She's the personification of material energy. In this world, so many people utter so many curses, but there's usually not much effect. When Mother Nature has issued a curse, then it is immediate. So in these verses here, we see what is Chitraketu's consciousness. What is his state of mind? He has just been cursed, and he will give up this present body as the king of the Vidyadharas in an instant. This verse shows his consciousness, what is on his mind when he leaves the present body and he moves to the next body. We can all meditate on this so we can also have a similar type of consciousness when we are forced to give up our present body and move on to the next body. Chitraketu Maharaj, he was having a very wonderful situation before he got cursed. He was traveling as the king of the Vidyadharas in a beautiful airplane surrounded by many beautiful associates, and he was enjoying life tremendously. Of course, it is also mentioned that he was glorifying, praising the Lord. So he was engaged in Sankirtan amidst all his opulence. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the wheel of samsara, or the wheel of time, is inevitable. And every living entity is feeling that samsara, that kala chakra, taking an influence on them. And he says that it is not surprising. We should not be surprising. Like I try to read the purport, but I saw that this edition is too small for me to read without reading glasses. So it's surprising, because formerly it was not a problem, but now it is a problem. So this is another sign of the Kala Chakra, the Samsara Chakra, who comes knocking and says, "Hello, you're getting old." There's so many signs. So, Chitraketu was not under the law of karma, as it is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because a devotee who can control the Lord by his own devotional service, like Chitraketu, he is under the internal potency of the Lord. So because Krishna has a individual plan for every living entity to come back to him, because Chitraketu, the Lord was feeling separation from Chitraketu. So he inspired Parvati to curse Chitraketu to draw him closer to him. And Chitraketu understood it, because his consciousness was always absorbed in the lotus feet of the Lord. And when we hear Chitraketu flying around, enjoying life, we think, yeah, right. Huh? He's really living it up. He's really having a good time. But the test comes, what is the consciousness then? So we should ask ourselves, if I would have to give up this body today, I mean, it's Mayapur, so, you know, it's a good place. What would be my consciousness? What would be my reaction? What would be my reciprocation with the Lord? Would I beg? Would I plead? Would I threaten? Would I object? Or would I accept it and see it as the desire, the pleasure of the Lord? So that is a meditation for today that I'm giving you on the way. You can all meditate on that. If I would have to give up my body, what would be my consciousness? Would I still be judgmental? Would I still be vindictive, have such a mentality? Or would I happily take this opportunity to return to wherever Krishna wants to send me? Chitraketu knew that his destination would be a demon's body. It's not that he could happily go back to Godhead right away. He was cursed to take a demon's body. But he knew that it will not be for long, because he would fight Indra, and Indra would finish his body, and then he could very quickly achieve his desired objective. So he was very clear in his desire. Brahmande Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. The living entity has been wandering in this material world for a very long time. And we have experienced the 8,400,000 species of life, and we have engaged in eating, sleeping, meeting, and defending in all these different forms of life. But now that we have come to this human form of life, we have a very wonderful opportunity. What is that opportunity? Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. If by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, of the Vaishnavas and the Lord, we get this gift of Bhakti Lata, this bija of devotional service, we have this great opportunity to change the course of our lives. So Brahmite means wandering. Everybody is wandering. Have you ever been wandering? Or is it just me? Roaming without roaming charges, right? We call it. We're roaming on the manoratena, on the chariot of our mind. And we're going many places, and we are trying to enjoy many things, till we get hit and reality strikes. One famous boxer once said, everybody has a plan till they're hit. We all had our plan, but then we got hit by prakrite kriyamanani, the gunas. They hit us, and our plan changes inevitably. And then what is our reaction? Can we still see it as Krishna's mercy? Even if there is no more airplane, there is no more associates, there is no more nothing. That's why in a few verses to come, Lord Shiva is glorifying Chitraketu and the Vaishnavas to Parvati. In this famous verse, Narayana Paraksarve Nakutas Chanabibhyati Svarga Pavarga Narakeshu Apitulya Artadarshana. He's stating that, oh Devi, how wonderful it is. Just see, the devotees of Vishnu, whether they're in heaven or they're in hell, they're simply Narayana Parayana. They're simply sold out to the mercy of Krishna. They're not disturbed by the external situations. So I think you slightly misjudged Chitraketu. Huh? So, Srila Prabhupada's sentence here, which is added at the end of the verse in parenthesis, therefore, my dear mother, neither you nor I am to be blamed by this incident. It's in parenthesis, which means Chitraketu Maharaj, he did not speak this sentence because that would not be polite. That would not be the etiquette. You don't address Mother Parvati like that, especially not after you've been cursed. So, but Srila Prabhupada makes that point because Chitraketu Maharaj's mood was, I don't blame you. Neither do I feel that I am to be blamed. For it is the hand of the Lord through the Kala Chakra, the Sangsara Chakra, which is just showing that time is ticking and that my time has come, and I'm very happy to take this opportunity. And he's bowing his head and he's taking blessings from Mother Parvati to be allowed to continue on his journey. So when we are wandering, are we wandering on Manoratena Satadavatobhi? Are we wandering on the chariot of the mind? Or are we wandering with a mission, with a purpose? With a purpose to practice Krishna consciousness, and with a purpose to share Krishna consciousness with others. Wandering we must, because Brahmite, that is our nature. We are tatasta, we are infinitesimally small. And little jiva is always looking. What are you doing? I'm just looking. No, I'm not buying, I'm just looking. Have you ever gone window shopping? Sometimes people go to the Hare Krishna temple to just look, just looking at things and at people like that. But a devotee is a person who is not going to just wander or to just look. Because we know, dhyayate visaya pungsang sangaste shubhajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodo bijayate, that when you contemplate the object of the senses, attachment arises and then you go further. So, a devotee is a person who is trying to seek the essence, sarvagrahi. What is the essence? Krishna's mercy. Where is Krishna's mercy here? And how can I absorb Krishna's mercy? And how can I share Krishna's mercy with others? So we have all come here to this holy land of Sridham Mayapur with a purpose. Have we come here to wander, or have we come here to search for Krishna and for Krishna's mercy? Now we have many students here of the MI. Who here is a student at MI? Okay, so we have Bhakti Shastris and Bhakti Vaibhavas and Bhakti Vedantas, and we're students of the Bhakti Vedanta Academy, Deity Worship Course. There's so many students here. Who here is a Sankirtan devotee? Show of hands. Okay, that's about 5.5. All right, we have a problem here. It's called a false sense of identity. If you're chanting Hare Krishna, and I believe I've seen most of you chanting Hare Krishna. I did not keep exact count, but I saw most of you chanting Hare Krishna this morning. So if you're chanting Hare Krishna, that means you are a Sankirtan devotee. And Sankirtan means that when you chant Hare Krishna, you don't do this just for your own sake. Prahlad Maharaj is praying, Prayena Deva Munayasva Vimuktikama Maunam Charanti Vijanena Parartanishta Naitan Vihaya Kripanan Vimumuksha Eko Nanyam Tvadasya Sharanam Brahmato Nupashye. He's praying to Lord Nrisimhadev, and he's saying that there's so many yogis and so many mystics, and they engage in vows of silence and meditation, and they do so many things, but for what are they doing these things? For themselves, for their own benefit. But I have no interest in my own benefit. My interest is, what can I do to help these kripanas, these small-minded, these miserly persons, by giving your mercy to them? That is my meditation. So when we are here in Mayapur, our meditation should be, how can I implement, how can I apply, how can I use what I have gained here in the Dham to share Krishna consciousness with everybody that I meet? That should be our meditation, because that is the meditation of Prahlad Maharaj. And in that mood, the world takes on a whole different type of a nature. We will not look into the world through the glasses of sukhe dukhe same kritva. We'll not look for happiness and trying to avoid distress. But we'll simply see opportunities for practicing and sharing Krishna consciousness with others. It is not very difficult. Tomorrow is the beginning of the Prabhupada Marathon. Have you noticed? The 1st of December. Does that make you feel a little bit bad? At least a little bit, right? I'm here in Mayapur, and you know, it's perfect, and everything is nice. This morning before Mangal Arati, I talked for 1 hour on Skype through 100 devotees in Santiago de Chile. They're starting their marathon to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. So, we are here, fortunate, blessed by the mercy of Panchatattva and Radha Madhava, to be in the Dham, and to study and to absorb. But we should make plans of how to spread Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if we're simply concerned with I, me and mine, our lives will be very small, will be very miserable. And we'll also fall into the category of kripana, of misers. And that's not good, because Srila Prabhupada wanted everybody in this movement to come to the Brahminical standard. And what is that Brahminical standard? Shamo ramasta pashaucham chantirarjavamevacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. This tolerance, humility, compassion, all these qualities, how can we acquire them? Through the process of Krishna consciousness. You see, our problem is a mistaken sense of identity. We think we are of this gender, we are of this age group, we are of this nationality, we have this occupation, we have this social status, economic status, and this and that and the other thing. I like, I don't like. But Mahaprabhu, he stated, Kiba vipra kibyanasi shudrakenano ye krishna tattva veta se guru hoy. It doesn't matter whether you're a householder or you're a sannyasi. It doesn't matter whether you're a shudra or a brahmin. If you know the signs of Krishna, you become a spiritual master and you go out and you enlighten people. Now, the common misconception in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time was, you want to know what was the common misconception in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, 500 years ago? Right here in this area, the common misconception was that you have to be a Brahmin and you have to be a Grihastha in order to be a Guru, because that was the system. That was the Smarta system. You want to know what today's misconception is? Just ask your own mind. He will tell you. Today's misconception is that the guru has to be from this country or from that country, or the guru has to be a sannyasi or whatever that suits your mental idea. But that is not reality. You see, we should not get stuck on these upadis, these designations. But Krishna consciousness should enable us, should empower us to go beyond these designations. By seeking that essence, And the essence is Krishna. And how to receive Krishna and how to share Krishna with others. This is the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement. This is our family business. Every family has a tradition and has a certain type of occupation. So what is our family business? It is to chant Hare Krishna and it is to distribute Hare Krishna. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Are you sure? I'm just checking, you know. Still a free country so far. So, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to become independently thoughtful and self-reliant and to use our own God-given intelligence to apply ourselves to this process to figure out what can I do to enhance my chanting of Hare Krishna and my distribution of Hare Krishna. That is what Prabhupada wanted from us. And that's why we're here. That's the soul, that's the only purpose why we're here. We're not here for any other purpose. A few weeks ago I was in China for a month and I climbed the Great Wall of China. And according to Mao, I'm a hero now because I went to the summit. So, I know that doesn't mean much to you, but to the Chinese people it means a great deal. So, it took 2,000 years to build that Great Wall. 2,000 years to build that Great Wall. And it is taking up more than 2,000 kilometers in China. It's huge. It's massive. You've seen pictures, but when you're there and you have to climb it, it's big. Now, if you even don't know anything about Chinese history, have you heard of the Ming Dynasty? The Han Dynasty? Give me some more names. What other dynasties did you have? Tang, Song, Huang, Yang, Ling, Yi, Li, Wu, Wong, Qi. So many, right? And they all continued building that wall. And you know what happened to all of them? Where are they now? Where is Mr. Li, Mr. Hao, Mr. Wong, Mr. Sheng? He thought he had it done, you know. He built his little empire. But he's gone. Like Prabhupada asked Ambarish, so where is Mr. Fort now? He's gone. So we should not waste our time. And you know what? They all have been conquered. Even though they built that great wall, each and every single dynasty was conquered and overthrown. So we should not invest energy to build walls. Not boundary walls, not little walls in the temple room. Okay, this is my spot, okay? Prabhu, you're standing in my spot. All right? You know, you heard of Vaishnava Apparat, right? You know? It's one of the apparats. You're standing in my spot. And we should not build walls in between each other. And we should not build walls and segregate ourselves from others. One friend of mine went to a guest house and he observed the scenario that a guest was refused a room because he needed some authorization by a devotee. So then my friend said, okay, I will give the authorization. This is a gentleman, you should give him room. And the person who managed the guest house, his reply was, no, you're a foreigner, you're not a devotee. And you have to be a disciple of a particular guru who is very prominent here. Otherwise, you're not a devotee. And I can't take your recommendation. Now you might smile or you might get upset, but it shows that we have some homework to do. Prabhupada has mercifully given us another 10 years to do our homework before the big temple opens up. When I went on my daily walk, I met four youngsters with motorbikes at Tarampur Ghat. And they were happy to be in Mayapur, but they were a little sad because they were not allowed to park their motorbikes and go for darshan. They said, there's no place for motorbikes. We don't want motorbikes here. So they were a little disturbed. They were happy to be in the dham, but they were a little disturbed because they did not feel the hospitality that they were looking for. They were very happy to meet me. And if you see the opportunity, you carry Prabhupada's books with you, wherever you go. So you just take the book out of your pocket and you put it in their hands and you talk to them. And it's not very difficult. You ask people simply where they're from, what they're doing, and do you like Mayapur? And everybody will say, yeah. And then you just ask them, can you please give a donation? And everybody will. And that's the amazing thing here in India, especially in the dhams, that nobody will refuse you. In fact, we have to be careful what we ask for, because nobody will refuse you. And how we ask, because people will observe, they will take notice. Now you may think, oh, I mean, these people already know and you know all that. No, they don't. They're on a different track. Their culture, that stopped a couple of generations before. So they need to read Prabhupada's books. They need to hear Chitraketu. They need to hear Bhaktivedanta purports. Otherwise they will not get it. I'm taking liberty of 12 minutes book distribution stories. Anybody's got any objections? Okay, just checking. It's the beginning of the marathon, so we're just trying to create a little bit of mood. We'll get back to this, but it's connected. We were up in Rishikesh with 12 boys in February chanting Hare Krishna and distributing Prabhupada's books and prasad at Lakshman Jula, and everybody who comes to over that bridge could not avoid us, because that's the nature of that place. So, and the chanting was going on very enthusiastically, and there was one beggar on the steps of that stairs, and he became so enamored by the kirtan that he joined the kirtan, and he was chanting and dancing with us. He gave up his job, because that was just his job, but he knew, I'm not my job. You know, I'm a devotee of Krishna. It's like so funny, you're in India and you're in airports and everybody tries to dress up, because it's still a big thing, right? You take a flight, people dress up like they used to do in America, right? You remember? Some time ago? Now people just roll out of bed and take a flight. But formerly people used to dress up to take a flight. Can you imagine that? So they dress up to take a flight. So they look all, you know, spick and span, all shiny, all serious. So you have a group of business people, and you go up to them, and you go, Giriraj Maharaj Ki! And they go, Jai Ho! And then they look at each other, because they're surprised that everybody's got their hands up, and everybody's screaming Jai, you know? And then they're like, what, you also? You're also a devotee? You know? It's like if you kick somebody when they're asleep, and they start yelling at you, they'll yell at you in their mother tongue, that's usually. So they may appear to be professionals, but it's just a veneer. It's just a show. Actually, they're devotees. And if you treat them like devotees, they will be devotees. And if you treat them superficially, they will stay superficial. So we joined and we chanted and danced together. And after some time, that beggar became so enthusiastic that he took out a whole stack of 10 rupee notes, a wad of 10 rupee bills. And he started taking them and putting them into the devotees' pockets. And he was showing everybody his money and how he's giving to the devotees. Now you may think, why are we taking money from beggars? We don't need the money. We are begging from beggars to give them the opportunity to show their generosity. If you allow a person to show their generosity, you have empowered that person. You have given that person the opportunity of a lifetime to show their generous, kind-hearted, and pious nature. And they will thank you for that. That's why we go on Sankirtan, and we take contribution, and we give people books. I was in Sydney, Australia, in front of town hall, and I met three girls, and they look kind of similar, so I asked them, are you sisters? They said, yeah. So they're from Kabul, Afghanistan. Teenagers. And it was Ramadan, so I asked them, so do you do Ramadan? Are you fasting? They said, yeah. But they were carrying bags of groceries. So I asked them, what is this grocery thing? They said, we're going to distribute food for the homeless. I thought, wow, You know, they're fasting, but they're going to feed the homeless, teenage girls. I don't know how many of you did Bhishma Panchak. I didn't. So if you fast, but you go to distribute prasad, that's not so easy. Teenagers. So then I asked them, you know, India, Indian culture, this, that, you know, Bollywood, you like the music, you like the movies. They said, we love it. So I gave them one book each, and they each gave me a donation. When I saw them walk away, I felt, these girls came here as refugees. But these girls are empowered. They're radiant. They're blissful. They're happy. Why? Because they have something to give. So we should ask ourselves, have I come to Mayapur to take, or have I come to give? Because there's two classes of people in this world. There's the givers and the takers. And if you're a giver, you'll always be blissful. And if you're a taker, you'll always be miserable. Because you always see somebody who has more than you, somebody who got what you wanted, somebody who stands in your spot, somebody who blocks the sun. You will always have issues. But when you're a giver, there's no problem. If somebody doesn't want, okay, I'll try the next one. You know, do you want this? Would you please like to take this? Can you please give something? Again, Rishikesh, yoga teacher, middle-aged man, my age, around 50. He looked at the Bhagavad Gita and he just was about to tell me, nah, I don't want this, I don't need this. You know, I know this. I'm already teaching yoga, you know. And you know, the more you talk, the less they will take it. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You just pray to Krishna. Because you know, if I start speaking now, for sure he will give the book back. So I just kept my mouth shut, which is kind of a spectacular thing for me. And I pray. And after a couple of seconds, the man, he just looked at me and he said, I feel love coming from your heart. How much is the book? And he bought it. Now I knew that's not me. That's not me. Because that's not me. But Krishna, in his heart, said, yeah, it's okay, take it. You know, he's a good boy. It's all right. Just take it. It's fine. So if you want to have that experience, you have to go on Sankirtan, you see. Because we're not cooks, pujaris, teachers, students, you know, men, women, this, that, young, old. We're Sankirtan devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because this is the Yuga Dharma. People talk so much about Dharma. Huh? And what is Vedic? And what is this code and this routine and that routine? And but for what? What's the purpose? Dharma svanustita pungsam vishvakshena katasuyad nodbade yet ratira tim shrama eva hi kevalam. You know, when you learn verses, you have to keep them going, you know? You have to brush up on them. Otherwise, your Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vai Bhava verses will fade out of your memory, you know, as you put new things there. I learned more verses before I joined than after. After, I forgot more verses. So, to please Krishna, that is the goal of Dharma. And everything else is Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. So what is our attitude? What is our aspiration? Chitraketu's aspiration was to please Krishna. His aspiration was to go back home, back to Godhead. His aspiration was not to find faults, not to be judgmental, not to share his grief and his misery with the world. He had plenty of reason to be miserable. Don't you think? That's a pretty miserable situation that he's in right now. But he was seeking the essence. And thus, he's glorified in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So much so, Mahadev, Shiva himself, he uses him as an example, is praising him. So if you want to make a lasting contribution in this world, engage in Sankirtan. And find ways to work together. Because Samya Kirtan means together. You may be very good at your study. You may be very good at your chanting. You may be very good at whatever it is that you're very good at. And I'm sure you're good at many things. But if we don't learn to work together as a team and to be good together as a team, we can't make it. Even to the national selection, what to speak of, you know, to the Olympics. It won't work. Because it's a team effort. And Srila Prabhupada was very much concerned about this, and he was very much in this mood of team player, which we can see from his life and from his teachings. And it's important that we learn it now while we're still young, because as it gets later on in the game, it becomes a little more difficult to adjust. So let us take this opportunity and see what can we take from these valuable instructions from Chikta Ketu, how can we apply them in our own lives, and how can we share this message with others. We've got 5 minutes for reflections. What I'd like to do is, I would like to hear from you one thing that you're taking away from today's class. Reflections. Anybody? Yes. Harinam Prabhu.
Prabhupada wants us to be independently
thoughtful
and self-reliant.
Yes.
Home, because it's quite a responsibility. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other reflections? Yes. Watch the mic.
Everyone's a devotee and everyone's looking for opportunities to give.
Everyone is a devotee and everybody's looking for opportunities to give. Yes. Anybody from this side? Yes.
Keshe.
You chant Hare Krishna,
give Hare Krishna
and you give Hare Krishna. So if somebody grabs you at the arm when you go outside of the temple down in the backyard and they say, "Hey, Keshavi, what did that guy talk about up there?" You say, "Chant Hare Krishna and distribute Hare Krishna." Right? Okay, good. What else? I'm sorry you had to hear the same stories like I already told in Vrindavan, you know. But that's what happens when you go to many places. You hear the same things in many places. To be generous, yes. Because if you give somebody an opportunity to be generous, they will like you for that, and they will adore you, they'll worship you, they'll be super happy, just because you gave them an opportunity to be generous. I took a rickshaw in Vrindavan with my friend down to Fogel Ashram, and you know, you talk with the rickshawala, and you fix the price, and then when you're in the rickshaw, I talk to him, so where are you from, and what are you doing, and how are things going, and how's business, and this and that. And when we arrived there, I took out the book, and I, you know, first we paid. And then showed him the book, and then I said, you know, Dana Patra, you can give a donation. And he was so happy, and he took what he just rightfully earned, and he gave it as a donation for the book. Because I did not treat him as a rickshawala, but I treated him as a pilgrim, as a devotee, and he really appreciated that. So give people the opportunity to be generous. What else from our back, from our esteemed members? We are all Sankirtan devotees, yes. And the rest is upadhi. The rest is designation. Yes.
It's not how much you know, but how much you care.
Yes, it's not about our book knowledge, but whether we care for people. Thank you. Any others?
Moving our consciousness from thinking I am to be blamed, or he or she is to be blamed, but rather seeing the hand of the Lord.
Not to point blame, but to see the hand of the Lord. Not to get depressed or aggressive or suicidal, but to just see what is the Lord's lesson here. What is His teaching? Thank you. Other points?
We should be givers, not takers.
We should be givers, not takers. Yes. Don't build a wall around yourself. Has this ever happened to you? Or is it just me? Huh? Yes. Seeking the essence in everything that we do. Yes. Work as a team. And oh, it's difficult. Ah. Because inside of each and every one of us, there's a bit of that revolutionary rebel spirit, right? But you know what happens? The revolution eats its own children. At one point, the revolutionaries, the opposition, are the establishment. And then what? There's nothing you can be against. It's your call. You have to do something. Now what is your message now? Oh, we got no message. We're just against a whole lot of things. But that doesn't work. We have to do something positive, something constructive. We'll take one more point here. Anybody? Thank you for your patience and your kind attendance. Yes, you have one more point.
I was going to say, don't claim your spot in the temple.
Yeah, because, you know, even though we could do timeshare and we could say, okay, you know, you pay a little something and you get it, like, let's say, for 3 months out of the year, you know, you can stand there. But eventually, you'll have to move. And then you'll have to negotiate with, you know, Sadhbuj and Bhavananda about your new spot in the new place. Now, I don't know, maybe they're already selling spots in the nude place. But I have a slight hunch that we're only here for a couple of days. So we should not be too worried about the I, me, and mine. But we should actually see how can we work together as a team to increase our hearing and chanting and to share Srila Prabhupada's gift with the world. And then our lives will become very blissful and enthusiastic. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.